Good morning. It's great to see everyone on this beautiful Sunday morning on this Labor Day weekend. We're certainly blessed by the presence of each one of you. I know we have some of you who are visiting us from out of the area, and a number of our members are out of town on this holiday weekend as well. And if you are traveling and visiting with us today, we hope that you have safe travels back to your home in the next day or two. But if you're from this area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to give consideration to us. And if you'd like to know more about us, please let us know, and we'd love to sit down and talk with you and give you some more information about who we are as the Lord's Church here in Morristown. We ask everyone if you'd please take a moment and take one of our connection cards. Those are located in the pews in front of you. And if you would, please complete that, and when the collection plate is passed later in services, you can just drop it off in there. You can also leave it at the end of your pew, and someone will be sure to collect it at the conclusion of services. This is a means for us to keep record of our attendance as a church family. It's also a good way, if you have any prayer requests or announcements that need to be passed along to us, you can make note of those on there this morning. As far as our prayer request, I want to just mention a couple of things. Right after we printed the newsletter, we learned on late Thursday afternoon, Karen Hernandez, and many of you probably know Karen, currently is working in Waverly, west of Nashville, and she and Steve are sort of alternating weekends to visit each other. Well, on Thursday late afternoon, Karen fell at the place where she's living in Waverly and broke her ankle. And so that's going to be, in addition to them being separated already, that's just going to add another burden to their difficulties right now. And so please keep Karen in your prayers, and Steve also. I know they'll greatly appreciate it, and we'll see what we're able to do to help them out, especially help her out from a distance. But at this time, especially keep her in your prayers. Also, some of you might have seen on the news last night or in the paper this morning, there was a drowning, unfortunately, yesterday on Cherokee, and that happened right outside of the Farley's house. And so they've asked us especially to remember that family in our prayers at this time as well. And a lot of other names in our Family Matters list, so please attend to those and honor those requests, please. If you do have prayer requests, be sure to pass those along to us as well. And I'll also mention, for those of you who might not know this, on Sunday evenings when we come together for worship at 5 o'clock, we do especially highlight new prayer requests that we've received throughout the day today. A few other things I want to highlight for us before we begin worship. Let me especially say something about today. Obviously, we need to keep the situation in Texas and Louisiana in our prayers. And the elders have been checking into what can be done as far as our part in assisting those in relief and cleanup efforts. And so today the elders have committed that everything that we give to the collection will go to Hurricane Harvey relief. They're still determining what the best use of those funds is going to be. They do have some personal connections in the Houston area that we're currently checking into and seeing if there are especially members of the church that we can directly help who might have been severely affected. If the personal contacts that we have suggest that the funds could be better used in other places, it probably is going to go to the Churches of Christ disaster relief organization out of Nashville, who just do marvelous work all throughout the country. And obviously, their efforts right now are being focused on the areas affected by Harvey. But we wanted to let everybody know that before we get to that part of our service this morning. It is Labor Day weekend, and so if you're here and you weren't prepared for that, or for those of our members who might be away this weekend and want to give to relief efforts, in the future you can earmark your gift, or you can give it directly to Bob Bobo or one of the elders. But obviously we want to do everything that we can, and we certainly need to continue to remember those affected in our prayers, and also be praying that this next hurricane hopefully is something that maybe turns north in the Atlantic pretty soon. One other thing as far as today, Our church retreat is coming up this coming weekend, and we will have a brief meeting for all of those who plan to attend the retreat. Just a few minutes after we conclude worship, if you can just meet at the front of the auditorium. Like I said, we'll keep the meeting brief and then send everybody on your way. If you are interested in the retreat, or if you would like more information about it, coming to the meeting would be a good time to get that information or to ask your questions. If you don't want to stay overnight, you can just come for Saturday. But we do have a great weekend planned for everybody. So we hope that you can make the most of that. And we will have worship services next Sunday as usual. The Bible classes will be organized a little bit differently in that there will be just one adult class here in the auditorium. But worship as normal will take place next week as well. You can also see in the newsletter, and I'll say a little bit more about this here in a moment, but our new series for the fall that we're calling The Good News kicks off in a couple of weeks. So please read the newsletter about those details. And on Sunday, September 17th, that will be the time for children who are at the next age level to be promoted to their new Bible class as well. We are grateful for your presence today. And most of all, we are a blessed people because of who God is and what he has done for us through his Son. And that's the focus of why we're here today. And so let's lift up our voices in song together as David Wilbanks leads us in our singing.
Our first song will be number 496, Oh, Listen to the Wondrous Story.
Oh, listen to the wondrous story, counted once among the lost. Yet one came down from heaven's glory, saving us at awful cost. Who saved us from eternal loss? What did he do? Where is he now?
Scripture reading is Proverbs 25, verse 25. You can find that on page 547 in your pew Bibles if you wish to follow along. Proverbs 25, verse 25. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Please have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 4 now, Matthew 4, and we will be there in just a moment. It is good to have each of you with us this morning, and for those of you who are visiting with us, we at Morristown Church of Christ just completed a big effort that started at the beginning of the year, and we called it The Story, and we went chronologically through the Bible, beginning with the creation, and last week we finished with the conclusion of Revelation. And for our members, we don't want to just leave the story as something, you know, that was a nice church program, or, you know, I learned some stuff, and the kids' Bible classes, they did some neat stuff, and I'm really impressed by the stuff that they learned. We want to take this now to the next level as something that we use to transform us to be more of the church that God would have us to be. And with that in mind, here in a couple of weeks, we're officially going to kick off a new series. And today I'm sort of going to lay the foundation for what that is and what it's about. But as I said earlier, you can read in the newsletter more about how that will affect our Bible classes and other things we will be doing here. This morning, And I'll be honest with you, I usually do not read the newspaper anymore. I check the news on my phone. Sometimes we'll watch a few minutes in the evening. But today I picked up the local newspaper. This isn't the entirety of it, but this is the front section. And I just decided, you know, I was curious as to what kind of things are in today's news. And I will acknowledge there are some nice local interest kinds of stories that are positive and uplifting. But as I turn through the pages of the paper, it's like most days in the news. The vast majority of things are not good news. It's bad news. It's discouraging. It's frustrating. Sometimes it's controversial. Sometimes it's scary. But there's some local things that happened that it's a little bit scary to think about. There's the national things and international things covered in here. Of course, the stuff going on in Texas right now in the aftermath of Harvey, if you were to go through the following pages of this, that they take up a lot of the content of this front section of the paper. You don't have to dig too long in the news to find out about everything going on in our country, the division, the strife, the stuff that people are not just debating about, but sometimes even fighting about. You don't have to watch the news very long these days to learn about what's going on in our country and in our community and our state with the opioid epidemic. I get to the back page of the paper, and the top of it is top of it's about North Korea. You probably don't want to read that if you're looking for good news. You start to read all this, and it's just a bit overwhelming. I do want to acknowledge one thing, and this was not by plan, but the top page is North Korea, but the bottom of the back page is Leah DeCesar. And her smiling face, and Caleb and Carson, you can tell Mommy, I think she's working today, you can tell her that we showed her picture during worship this morning, and her bright smiling face is a good reflection on our church family, and you know the contrast, the dichotomy between North Korea and Leah DeCesar on that page, I found a bit interesting. But like I was saying, you don't have to watch the news, to read the newspaper, to surf the internet very long, to find out we just got a lot of bad news, and it's no different today in that sense than it was 5 years ago or 100 years ago or even 2,000 years ago. But you know, if you're honest with yourself, if I'm honest with myself, we don't need a newspaper, we don't need the internet, we don't need 24-hour news channels to tell us that there is bad news in the world. You just walk up and down the streets of this community or any community. You go in and out of the shops and stores on a daily basis. It won't take you too long to confront or discover something that gives you cause for concern, that's maybe even frustrating and depressing, bad news. And so out there there's bad news, and closer there's bad news, but let's also be honest about this. I don't have to go outside of myself to find bad news. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm not always proud of what I see. Sometimes there's things going on in my own life. Sometimes I might be a cause of it, but it might be stuff connected to me and my family that's not the most positive, not the most encouraging, not the most uplifting. And so I don't need the community and I don't need the world to find bad news. Bad news has a way of finding me, or maybe I have a way of finding it. And unfortunately, and maybe this is one thing that's a bit different because of our technology and our exposure to things, we can become so easily saturated and overcome by bad news. We can let it dominate our lives. And our outlook and our perspective can be so negative. And it's sad when people who should have the best news of all in their lives allow the messages of the world to drown it out. And then we open this book, or maybe like Van this morning at the Lord's Supper, we open it on our app, and we discover in the pages of the Bible this word that just seems to occur over and over and over again, especially in the pages of the New Testament. It's a very, forgive me for this expression, but I call it a very churchy word. There are some words in our vocabulary that are just very church-oriented and driven by religion. It's the word gospel. We sing about it. We read passages from Scripture about it. We quote it. We have sermon titles about it. But do we really know what the gospel is? do we really know what the gospel is all about? And the thing that we are going to focus on this fall is, have we really believed the gospel in such a way that it's making a meaningful difference in our everyday lives? Because it's like a lot of those churchy words or churchy concepts. You can come into this auditorium on a weekly basis. You can attend every Bible class. You can sing every song. You can talk about how great the gospel is and how you're not ashamed of it. But if you go out into the world, if you go back into your homes, in your workplaces, in your desk at school, and if the gospel isn't making a meaningful difference in your life as a Christian, what good is it? What is it really worth? Is it really as powerful as we like to say that it is? It's interesting, this word gospel, while it is all over the pages of the New Testament, it seems like Jesus just to sort of show up out of nowhere. You read the Old Testament, you will not find the word, as we would say it, gospel. Its first occurrence in the way that the New Testament is laid out for us is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And like I said, it's sort of like Jesus. It just sort of shows up out of nowhere. Here's what Matthew writes by inspiration for us in Matthew 4, 23. "And he," that's Jesus, "went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." And so there it is. We're introduced to the gospel, but we're not really told what it is. We're just told that Jesus is in Galilee, he's speaking to the people in their synagogues, and he's proclaiming the gospel. Here Matthew calls it the gospel of the kingdom. Some places in Scripture will call it the gospel of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, Mark calls it the gospel of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what's attached to it, the phrase that maybe gives it more definition, we still have this word gospel. And while you probably know what it means, if you were just to read the Bible, you're like, what is this gospel all about? Well, the gospel at its most basic definition is this. It's the good news. It's not the bad news. It's not the okay news. It's not the, well, I agree with it news. It's not the fake news. It's the good news. And when you get to the New Testament, it's just like all of a sudden the writers of Scripture and John the Baptist and Jesus himself, they just start using this word, gospel. And the people knew that this word to them just meant good news. And while the Old Testament doesn't have the word gospel, it does have the concept of good news. And that brings us back to the passage that Rich read for us. If you want to go back to Proverbs 25, Proverbs 25 and verse 25. It doesn't seem to be any kind of prophecy about the coming of Jesus. There might have that idea in mind by inspiration, but like many of the Proverbs, it's just sort of a saying that stands alone. In fact, if you were to read the surrounding material, a lot of the surrounding material doesn't have a lot to do with Proverbs 25 and its content. But here's what's recorded for us there. "Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." That's just a beautiful proverb. There's some proverbs to me that just sort of, they're just so simple and so eloquent, but to me that one just, maybe it's because of the times in which we live, it just seems so full of content for me. Like cold water for a thirsty soul. I want you to think for a moment about the times when you are in greatest thirst for a cold drink of water. Now, sometimes it's when I'm up here preaching. But a lot of times, it's when I'm out working in the yard or I've been out running on one of those hot, humid summer days. Not a day like yesterday. Yesterday was abnormal. But one of those, you know, middle of July, 95 degrees, 100% humidity, And me and my wisdom, on a Saturday, I'll say, I'm going to get something accomplished in the yard today. And I work for a while, and I work longer than I anticipate without drinking something. And all of a sudden, I just find myself, we sometimes use these phrases, you know, I'm dying of thirst. Well, you're not literally dying, but there is nothing I want in that moment more in the world than a cold drink of water. And in those moments, water tastes pure and sweeter and fresher. There is something about cold ice water in those moments of my greatest thirst that just give it even, I hope you know what I'm talking about. Because when the writer of Proverbs is writing 25 verse 25, he's operating under the assumption, you know what it's like to be really thirsty. In those extreme moments, he says, let me tell you this. That's what good news from a far country is. Now, think about moments when you've really been waiting or anticipating good news. We've all been in these situations. Maybe someone close to us is about to give birth to a baby. And you're just waiting and waiting, and you know it's going to be today or tomorrow or sometime this week, and you're just waiting and anticipating for that good news. Or somebody close to you, a family, a loved one, is having surgery. And a lot of us have sat together in waiting rooms over the years. And some surgeries are more serious than others, but when it's your loved one, it's serious, right? And some surgeries are 15 minutes, and some are a day long. And you're sitting there, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting for good news. For some of us, it might be a job opportunity or a job promotion. You know you've done well. You know that something might be coming your way. Something is due. And so you're waiting, you're hoping, you're anticipating for that piece of good news. Some of us have family and friends and church members in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. Maybe some of them are serving in the military. We're waiting for the good news of the day when they come home. The writer of Proverbs says, like cold water to a thirsty soul. That's what good news is. Good news from a far country. Good news from a place of anticipation or a time when you just feel like you're waiting. You're waiting for good news. And so that brings us back to the days of Jesus in the New Testament. The word gospel, meaning good news, had largely become associated with the emperor. When I say emperor in Jesus' day, I'm talking about the Roman Empire. I'm talking about the Caesars. The people who spoke the Greek language in the Roman Empire, they would use this word gospel to announce a piece of good news for their empire. For example, it would be used to announce when the next emperor might have been born. The Caesar, the emperor, and his wife gave birth to a child, and this would be the heir to the throne, the next in line. And so a proclamation of good news, the gospel, would go out to people to say, the next king has been born. Or when he reached an age of certain consequence, when he was coming of age, when he was maybe reaching what they would consider maturity or adulthood, it would be announced, you know, the king is now a man. Isn't that good news? Sometimes the day that he would ascend to the throne, a proclamation of good news, the gospel, would go out throughout the land saying, the king is now here. He has arrived. A new day has dawned and hope springs eternal. There's only one problem when you look at the use of good news in the Roman Empire like that, or any nation. That good news is often not so good. or it's fleeting. Or you realize all these hopes and expectations that you had in some man, some empire, some nation, it was rather disappointing. In fact, you look at the history in the first century, the world in which Jesus lived, can you imagine the irony to somebody like Caligula when he was born? Good news! Caligula has arrived. Well, if you know much about his life and reign or that of Nero, you'd look back and say, that was a day of really bad news. There's no good news to this at all for us or for our people. And yet the word gospel was still being used by people like that. And then all of a sudden, there's this man from Nazareth and those who follow him. And they say this: the good news has finally arrived. This is the gospel. And we are here to proclaim it. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. There you find one of the earliest usages. In fact, chronologically speaking, this might have been one of, if not the first usage by Jesus himself in the public domain of the word gospel. In Mark chapter 1, you look down in verses 14 and 15. John the Baptist has been arrested. It says, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Some translations might say the kingdom of God is near or has arrived. And then he says this: repent and believe in the gospel. I wonder what the people would have thought when they heard that, given the use of the word gospel in their day and time. How it had become, probably to some of their ears, a tired phrase associated with the Roman Empire. Jesus comes announcing a different kind of kingdom and a new reign. And while they don't know it yet, he's introducing himself as a completely different kind of king. And he tells them this. He doesn't just say, listen about the kingdom. He doesn't say, learn about the kingdom. He says, repent. And then what? Believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. We can talk about the good news. We can proclaim the good news in the sense of us coming together for worship. We can sing about the good news. Jesus says, I want you to believe. I want the good news to change everything about who you are. Sometimes we look to God's Word and we realize that if we just look and dig and study hard enough, at some point we'll find the good news, because we look at our lives, we look at the world, and there's just a lot of bad news. Sometimes we're looking for a better version of ourselves. The good news tells us it's not about being a better version of ourselves, ultimately. It's about being like Jesus. It's about losing ourselves and who He is, and allowing Him to transform us. That's what it means to believe. First, to repent, to turn away from all the bad news that we seem to wallow in, and to truly be changed, and to believe in the good news of God and His Son. What we are going to be doing when we kick off this series officially in 2 weeks is we're going to be looking at practical, meaningful, everyday ways in which the good news is making a difference in our lives, or should be making a difference in our lives. I don't want for Morristown Church of Christ for the gospel just to be a word we throw around. And whether you want to call it the gospel or you call it the good news, we want us to live out the good news, to live out the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to truly believe that it announced good news not from a distant land, but from heaven itself. That's how that proverb goes. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a distant land or a far country. Jesus didn't come from the other side of the world. He came from heaven itself. And the proclamation wasn't that there was going to be the next king or another kingdom by the world's definition, or there was a new kind of hope based on the same standards we've always been living by, but there was good news of something completely different. And that is the King of Kings had arrived. And a throne that would never be handed over to another. God reigns from it with His Son seated at His right hand. And that we don't have to be dominated by the bad news, but we can be eternally changed by the good news and let Christ reign in our lives. To let His message transform us day by day, and for that to culminate in His return and His eternal reign. We want to take that message of hope, of good news, to this community, to the world. Because that's what the world needs. We keep looking to stuff like this, whether it's on a written piece of paper or on the TV screen or on the internet. Listen, all you're going to find here is disappointing news and bad news. And it's certainly not the news to save your soul. And maybe that's been part of our problem in the church, is we've allowed this to affect our thinking more than the contents of this. Because in these pages, that's the good news. It's the best news. It's the eternal news. And so what do we need to do? Repent and believe in the good news. This morning, if you need good news for your life, like water for a thirsty soul, Jesus is the perfect answer for your thirst, for the things that are missing and lacking in your life. If you believe that the good news, the best news, is found in the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and if you believe that He walked this earth and died for our sins and rose on the third day, never to taste death again, and you've not put Christ on in baptism, that is coming to terms with the good news. That is repenting and believing in it and being changed by it. If you need to make that decision this morning, we hope that you come to the gospel. For those of us who are Christians, let us not just talk about it, let us live by the good news. Let us take it to others. And if you need it in your life today in some special way, if you need our prayers, our encouragement, if you need to repent and make that known, you can meet with one of the elders in one of the front pews here. You can meet with them after worship in the library. But we are here because we believe in the good news. If you need it for your life this morning, please come forward while we stand and sing.